السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
أبو عامر how are you؟
الحمد لله.
How are you going with this class؟
yes نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In our class yesterday upon the reading of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we read about Namam. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he gave a chapter heading Bab Namam, the chapter about those who go about spreading information, spreading news. They hear something from party A and then they get it to party B. We use here a fitnatan aw wahshatan. The reason for doing so is to bring about enmity, to bring about trouble, is to bring about disaffection, is to bring about estrangement between the two parties. We mentioned that sometimes the people will say, that was not my intention. When I gave up the news, or when I gave out the news, I did not intend to spoil or cause disaffection. But your action eventually brought about that. It will fall still under a namima. So before you divulge what you hear from a particular party to another group of people, you must be sure that what you are going to divulge will not bring about disaffection between the two of them. This is very, very important. That is what most times it is translated as the either rumor mongering when the information is wrong, or tale bearing even when the information is correct, or better still, slandering. On either of the cases, the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited a namima, going from party A to party B to tell party B about what party A had said about it, and that consequence upon disaffection and trouble between the two parties. This is wrong in the Sharia of Islam. We also read to us the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, where the Prophet ﷺ made us understand that from the things that bring about the punishment of the grief for an individual is this act of al-namima, becoming a namam. We explained that namam is from the aspect of the figure of mubalagha. It has deep intensity when you say namam. The one who ordinarily gives out information that causes disaffection in the community, it's what namu. When he does it regularly, it becomes what namam. May Allah protect us from this evil. The last hadith we read under that chapter was the hadith of Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anha al-Ansariya, when she said that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ukhbirukum bi khiyarikum, should I not give you information about the best of you people of Iman? And then the companion said, Bala ya Rasulallah, please do so, Messenger of Allah. Then he said alayhi salatu wasalam, Alladina iza ru'u dhukirallahu, the best of you are those who, when they are seen, when we come in contact with them, look here, Allah. Allah is recalled. Reminders is made regarding Allah. if you have a prayer, when you meet him, you remember no other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should understand that those are from the best of us. And then he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, afala ukhbirukum bishirarikum, should I not inform you also of those who are least in the ladder of iman? They come down, down, down the ladder of weakness. And then the companions answered and asked that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should say to them and describe to them these bad ones amongst the Muslims. And then the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, المشاؤون بالنميمة المفسدون بين الأحبة المشاؤون, those who just go about from one place to another, بالنميمة, carrying information about one party to another group, about this party to another group, about this sheikh to another sheikh, about this student to another student, about this man to his wife, about the wife to the husband, and so on and so forth. And whatever guys, when they go about this, in namima, yufsiduna fil ard, when they go about that, they destroy the good relations between the people. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, al-masha'una bin namimati, al-mufsiduna bayn al-ahibba, al-mufsidun, those who they bring about evil relations, to cause disaffection between al-ahibba, amongst people who love themselves. A man loves his wife. You come in between, you begin to transfer one information to the other group, another group to another information, and then the husband begins to hate the wife begins to hate the husband, and then the marriage breaks down. These are from the worst people amongst us. May Allah protect us from those attributes of the worst ones amongst us. They are al-ba'un al-bur'a al-anad, al-ba'un al-bur'a al-anad. They make al-bug. They bring about, they run all around searching for means of bringing bur'a, bringing them what? Al-anad. Bringing distress, bringing trouble, bringing problems, false accusations to those who are innocent. The man is bari from amongst the bura'a, and then the bagi goes about searching, craving, looking for a means of labeling a person who is innocent. He wants to paint him black, as they say. He wants to call a sheep a bad name. This is very bad. It is from the attributes of the very, very bad people among we Muslims. After this discourse, our discussion today, bismillah, will be about, like Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, babu man sami'a bifahishatin fa'ahshaha. Man sami'a bifahishatin fa'ahshaha. The chapter regarding man sami'a bifahisha. The one who hears about something indecent. He heard about an indecency. He heard about an obscene thing. He heard about a dirty, bad thing. He heard about a filthy thing. Fa'afshaha. And then he goes about spreading that dirty thing. He heard about one indecency. He heard about one zina. He heard about one bad thing. And all he's interested in is he films it and he sends it to the rest of the world. Man sami'a bifahishatin fa'afshaha. Fahisha, yes, essentially refers to zina, where it could apply to every obscenity that we find. Islam does not support that people spread obscenity in the community. Because one of the evils of spreading obscenity is that there are some of the people who are scared of it. They are afraid. And Shaitan is trying to convince them to commit that crime. When you begin to spread that crime, it begins to become popular. The man begins to say, oh, some people have already done it, so let me try. And then he goes on trying. May Allah protect us from it. So it is really, really bad to spread evil. It is bad to spread evil. And it is one of the ways of the people in our own generation. In our own times, evil spread easily. Evil spreads. You see a man commits an indecency with a man in the privacy, and then it spreads. May Allah protect all of us. It begins to spread one party, one group, from one what social media group to the other, and it spreads. And then you hear it again, and then you hear it again, and then you hear it. It becomes a norm in the community. From among those who encourage that evil to spread are those who spread it from the very beginning. In our own community now, we complain, may Allah protect all of us. That this evil of kidnapping, it did not just go about all around you. But when the news began to spread, it became a norm. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. So this is very, very bad. Spreading evil. Right, the various kinds of evil in our community that God spread, people began to do it just because people were spreading it, it became spread. There are some kinds of indecency. When they are not spread, it will not spread. People will not care about it. They will not even have any idea about it. They will not even imagine it. Some of the people will not imagine it until they read about it, and then Shaitan begins to think, you can also do it. Shaitan begins to suggest to them, you can also do it, and then they do it. And then it becomes something people begin to commit. These are crimes in the community. I remember when I was, that's about, I was just an undergraduate at the time. I read the news about a robbery incident in the US. And when the armed robbers were arrested, they were asked about it. Because the way they went about the robbery was just about a film they had watched 2 days before. So they went to implement that evil in real life. They had watched a film 2 days before. They went on to carry out the same crime in about the same way they had watched just 2 days ago. So this is how crime goes about in the community. When people see it, the mind, Shaitan begins to push their mind and encourage them towards it. So in Islam, it is not lawful to show, for example, things that carry indecency. It is not that it's even upon a view that watching the screen itself is lawful. Let's take upon that view. Don't bring indecency to the community. Don't bring things of shirk to the community. I know a family. They used to watch these evils. It was a family of deen. They had very strong deen in that home. And then they obtained a television set. And then the head of that home is an engineer. And then they began to watch Kotoarun. It was during Kotoarun, long ago. I'm sure those of us who are a bit older will remember this Kotoarun story. They began to follow the story. One of them in the home was Tand Ajay. And the entire home, till today, became destroyed. Till today, till as I speak now, the entire home is destroyed. They will hardly be able to say something to one another when they wake up in the morning, because they were watching Kotoarun series. And then they became destroyed amongst themselves. So when you spread evil in the community, and those who act those films, they know what they are doing. The more those people watch those films, films of blood money, films of male-female indecency, films of homosexuality, films of lesbianism, those things will spread in the community. So don't be an agent of the spread of indecency in the community. This is what we'll be discussing today. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, man sami'a bifahishatin fa'afshaha. What is it that the Sharia says about when indecency or obscenity is heard about, and then someone goes to spread it? What does the Sharia, what does the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, what were the statements of the early Muslims, what were they upon regarding this kind of a character? Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned the first hadith regarding this issue as hadith 324, and he said, rahimahullah, حدثنا محمد بن المثنى قال حدثنا وهب بن جرير قال حدثنا أبي قال سمعت يحيى ابن أيوب عن يزيد بن أبي حبيب عن مرثد بن عبد الله عن حسان بن كريج عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال القائل الفاحشة والذي يشيع بها في الإثم سواء القائل الفاحشة والذي يشيع بها في الإثم سواء القائل الفاحشة القائل الفاحشة والذي يشيع بها في الإثم سواء. الإمام البخاري سد رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن المثنى. محمد بن المثنى الإمام أبو موسى البصري. محمد بن المثنى happens to be from amongst the nine scholars from whom the scholars of the books of Sunnah, the six books of Sunnah and others reported from all of them. There are nine persons. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported from him, from them. Al-Imam Muslim reported from them. Abu Dawud reported from all the nine. Imam al-Nasa'i reported from all the nine. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi reported from all the nine. Al-Imam Abu Dawud al-Sijistani, Al-Imam Ibn Majah al-Qazwaini, making the sixth, reported from all of them. There are nine of them. These nine persons, all the scholars of the books of the Kutub al-Sitta, the six books of Sunnah, reported from them. In fact, one of the scholars added and said that even Ibn Khuzaima, Muhammad ibn Ishaq, who has Sahih Ibn Khuzaima, he also reported from nine of them. There are nine of them. These six collectors of the books of Sunnah, including Ibn Khuzaima, seven, reported from all the nine. They reported from all of them. One of them was Al-Imam Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna al-Basri, rahimahullah. There were others like Muhammad ibn Bashar, Al-Imam Bundar, Al-Imam al-Ashaj. Al-Imam al-Ethiopi mentioned it in Al-Bahr al-Muhit. He also mentioned it in his Sharh on Sunan al-Nasa'i. There were nine of them. From them is Muhammad ibn Bashar, Bundar. From them was Al-Imam al-Ashaj. From them is Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna. If I remember vividly, Al-Imam Qutaybah ibn Sa'id. There were nine of them. So one of them is Ibn Muthanna. Ibn Muthanna is the teacher of Bukhari, the teacher of Muslim, the teacher of Abu Dawud, and so on, among those scholars. He was a very, very learned, well-known person of Sunnah, Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna. He said, Haddathana Wahab ibn Jarir. Wahab ibn Jarir is the teacher of Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna in this isnad. And Wahab ibn Jarir was reporting from his father. So he said, Haddathana Abi. His father is Jarir ibn Hazm al-Basri. The father of Wahab ibn Jarir, he is Jarir ibn Hazm al-Basri. So Jarir ibn Hazm al-Basri was, the hadith was collected from him by his son Wahab ibn Jarir. And Jarir ibn Hazm, the father of Wahab, he said, Sami'tu Yahya ibn Ayyub al-Misri. Yahya ibn Ayyub al-Misri. Rahimahullah. And he was reporting from Yazid ibn Abi Habib. Yazid ibn Abi Habib, Abu Raja al-Misri. Abu Raja al-Misri. Wahab ibn Jarir is Misri. His father is Misri. Yahya ibn Ayyub is Misri. Yazid ibn Abi Habib is Misri. Likewise, Marsad ibn Abdullah. Marsad Isa, Marsad ibn Abdullah al-Himyari. Rahimahumullah Abu Quraib. Likewise, Hassan ibn Quraib, حسان ابن كريب الحميري أبو كريب. حسان ابن كريب الحميري أبو كريب. أصفى مرثد إيهز أبو الخير المصري. مرثد ابن عبد الله إيهز أبو الخير المصري. I know a brother who bears أبو الخير. Just like women have أم الخير. So you can have men who bear أبو الخير. It's very common. Someone had asked me this question. We have women who bear أم الخير. And a man be called أبو الخير. Yes, a man may be called أبو الخير. And from amongst those who had that as a kunya was مرثد ابن عبد الله. مرثد ابن عبد الله. He was أبو الخير المصري. His sheikh is حسان ابن كريب. حسان ابن كريب الحميري. أبو كريب. He was the one reporting from علي بن أبي طالب. رضي الله عنه. علي بن أبي طالب happens to be the first young person to accept Islam. The first young person who accepted Islam was who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. The first young boy who became a Muslim was who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. رضي الله عنه. Because at the time he was in the household of the Prophet Muhammad. عليه الصلاة والسلام. And it happened that he married one of the most beloved persons to the Prophet Muhammad. عليه الصلاة والسلام. Who was that? Fatima رضي الله عنها. So Ali ibn Abi Talib married Fatima, and Ali was a nephew to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, because his father Abu Talib was the uncle of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم married his daughter Fatima to who? Ali ibn Abi Talib, his nephew رضي الله عنه. Ali ibn Abi Talib also happened to become the fourth Khalifa after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The first of them, just by way of mentioning, was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu Abdullah ibn Uthman. And the second after him was who? Abu Hafs radiyallahu anhu Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Adawi. And the third of them was who? Lu Nurayn, Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Amr, radiyallahu anhu. And the fourth of them was who? Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhum. These were the companions, most eminent ones amongst the companions of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first young person who accepted Islam, and the fourth Khalifa after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the most knowledgeable people in the Ummah alayhi radiyallahu anhu, is the one who mentions this hadith, this narration. He said radiyallahu anhu al-qa'ilul fahisha, the one who goes about speaking obscenity, the one who goes about spreading an indecent speech, something indecent. He's the one who is forwarding it. He forwards it, puts it on Twitter, puts it on YouTube. It's spreading indecently. Al-qa'il al-fahisha. Wal-ladhi yushi'u biha. Someone originated it. He started it. Wal-ladhi yushi'u biha. And the one who helps to spread it, he's forwarding it. Al-qa'il al-fahisha. Someone said it. Someone started the fahisha. Someone started the indecency. Wherever, on the social media, wherever, or in the house, or somewhere in a place. So someone started, someone tweeted something. وَالَّذِي يُشِعُ بِهَا. And the one who spreads it, who shares it, who retweets it. Someone tweets it. The other one retweets. The one who tweets is القائل الفاحشة. The one who started it is القائل. He started it, he originated it, he manufactured it, so to speak. والذي يشيع بها. And the one who spreads it, he forwards it, he transfers it to other people to listen to. في الإثم سواء. in terms of iniquity and sin that they bring upon themselves, they are the same. In terms of the iniquity that they incur, in terms of the wrath of Allah that they incur, they are the same. The one who originated the speech. If we have a situation, a man brings young boys and young girls to a room, may Allah protect us, and he removes every sense of indecency. In fact, the man gathered those young boys and young girls for indecency, and he begins to announce to the rest of the world, come and watch indecency amongst young boys and young girls. If you spread anything relating to that, yourself and that man, you are the same. And this man, unfortunately, he will give someone that is most indecent a gift. You can imagine the kind of community that we live in. You're in a community where a man brings men, young boys, young girls in the house, and he gives them a prize. The most indecent amongst you will earn 50 million. And then one same person spreads that news. The one who spreads the news and this young man himself, they are the same. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, Al-Qa'ilu al-Fahishata wal-Ladhi yashi'u biha. The one who spreads the news. The one who goes about telling the people about it. The one who goes about spreading the news. Watch this, watch that. Watch what happens. Vote for it. I've even seen it once when a sister was writing that so and so person should be voted for. A sister with hijab on her head. You are voting that someone is more indecent than another one. I think this level of shamelessness should stop amongst Muslims. It is shamelessness. One indecent kafir is making young people compete in indecency. And you, a person of Iman, you help him to spread the indecency. You are even encouraging people to vote. They are also going to vote. Mimma lillahi alladhi ataahu. They are going to vote from the wealth, from the money that Allah has placed them in charge of. How do you account for that money that you have used to do a vote of who is more indecent than the other? Who is more shameless? Who is more offensive? Who is more obscene? The Muslim is voting for someone who is more obscene. This one is more obscene than this one. And then he spreads the news. Vote for somebody who is obscene. Our deen says, Al-Qa'ilu al-Fahishata wal-Ladhi yashi'u biha. The one who originated that house where young people commit indecency. Wal-Ladhi yashi'u biha. And the one who spreads information regarding it, making people know about it. Sometimes when we want to condemn these things, we should look at the how of the condemnation. The how of the condemnation should not be in another means of spreading it. The how of the condemnation should not be indirectly another means of spreading it. And that's why sometimes some of these evils, the way to actually condemn it is not to give it attention at all. It's not to give it attention at all. Wherever you find it, delete anything regarding it. Wherever you find it, delete any information regarding it. When people start talking about it, be harsh about it. And then the people begin to understand that this is something that is really bad and deserves to be abandoned and not given any sort of attention or spread. If you aid the spread of this evil, Al-Qa'ilu al-Fahisha, you will have the same evil with the one who started it, Wal-Ladhi yushi'u biha, and then the one who spread it, Fil ismi sawa, they are the same in iniquity. And that's what Allah told us also in the Quran. Inna al-Ladhina yuhibbuna an tashi'a al-Fahishatu fil ladhina amanu. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That's in Surah Nur. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ. Those who desire, they like it that al-fahisha is spread amongst the people of Iman. amongst the people of Imam, one indecency occurred, and they enjoy that the news goes round. Everybody, they enjoy it, they like it. Everybody must hear about it. They like it. The Quran says, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. These kinds of people have a painful punishment. عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. A punishment from which they will get severe pain. في الدنيا, in this world, Allah will punish them. وَالْآخِرَةِ, in the hereafter, they will also be punished. They should just wait for their time. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who desire and crave that indecency, dirtiness, falsity, obscenity, and indecency spreads amongst the people of Iman, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah says, لَهُمْ, what they will deservingly get في الدنيا, in this world, and the day of Qiyamah, is عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, Al-Qa'ilu al-Fahisha, just in line with that verse in Surah An-Nur, Al-Qa'ilu al-Fahisha tawalladhi yushi'u biha fil ismi sawa, the one who originates, who starts a talk, who starts an action about indecency. Regarding an indecency, he starts an indecency, wallazi yushi'u biha, and the one who spreads that indecency that has been started, the one who started it and the one who spreads it, fil ismi sawa, in the iniquity of that thing, they are upon the same rank. I think that narration is clear. Bismillah, may Allah protect us. In Hadith 325, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Bishr ibn Muhammad, qala haddathana Abdullah, قال حدثنا إسماعيل ابن أبي خالد عن شبيل بن عوف قال كان يقال من سمع بفاحشة فأفشاها فهو فيها كالذي أبداها من سمع بفاحشة فأفشاها فهو فيها كالذي أبداها. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Shaykh Bishr ibn Muhammad, Abu Muhammad, Bishr ibn Muhammad, Abu Muhammad al-Sakhtiyani, Bishr ibn Muhammad, Abu Muhammad al-Sakhtiyani, and he is reporting from Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak al-Hanbali, Abu Abdurrahman. Abdullah, he is Abdullah ibn Mubarak Al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, Abu Abdurrahman. He is reporting from Ismail ibn Abi Khalid al-Bajr. Ismail ibn Abi Khalid al-Bajali. He is the one who is reporting from the eminent learned person of this ummah, Shubayl. Shubayl ibn Awf was alive during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Shubayl ibn Awf. He was alive during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But he did not meet the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So he is a mukhadram. Those who had accepted Islam in their local communities when the Prophet was alive, but for one reason or the other, they did not migrate to meet the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They are referred to as mukhadramun. And the ruling regarding them is the ruling of the tabi'un. So Shubayl ibn Awf learned from Umar ibn al-Khattab. He also learned from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and others amongst the elders, amongst the companions. But he did not meet the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So he is tabi'i, he is mukhabramun tabi'iyun. That is Shubayl ibn Awf. Shubayl ibn Awf was a tabi'i, because he did not meet the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So Shubayl said to us, rahimahullah, al-Bajali, Abu Tufayl. Shubayl ibn Awf, al-Bajali, Abu Tufayl. He said, Rahimahullah, kana yuqal. It used to be said in our days, in our times, it used to be said that man sami'a bi fahishatin fa afshaha. Whoever hears about, he hears an indecency, he hears a vulgarity. From that is the use of vulgar words. When a statement is vulgar, don't use that word. Many times you see our brothers and our sisters, when we chat, we use words that have been originated by people of vulgarity, and the word itself is vulgar. Don't use those words. They are common on the social media when people chat. You see vulgar expressions. Those vulgar expressions may now be taken to have a particular meaning. Don't join them in the use and spread of vulgarity. Don't be vulgar in expressions. Don't be unseen. Be decent. Because you're a person of iman. Let the iman be upon your tongue. Don't be a person of vulgarity. So one of them, they begin to say violence. They don't want to say violence so that perhaps their accounts are not banned. So you are afraid of those people, but you are not afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't care what Allah records for you, but you are afraid of the man on Facebook who will ban your account because you are saying violence, V-I-O. So they change it to violence. Doesn't Allah know what you mean and intend? And they put a head that has big teeth on it. This is an expression of vulgarity. Don't be like that. You see young people, I saw a brother, I would consider a learned person discussing with his students, talking about this violence with a head, comrade violence. I mean, a learned person upon these kinds of expressions. Although I had to talk to one of those young persons that, why are you joining in this kind of an indecency? So indecency comes in different ways in our own times, in the world of social media. Be careful, because when you use that expression, yourself and the person who originated it will share. You are upon the same level in terms of evil. As he started it, you help him to spread it. And the Quran prohibits us from making at-ta'awun illa ala al-ithmi wal-udwan. Don't make ta'awun, don't cooperate with people upon indecency. It says ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa. Wa la ta'awanu ala al-ithmi wal-udwan. Don't cooperate upon sin. Don't. So when you use that expression too, you are like those people who started it. Because it just started. It just started less than a year ago. People started using that expression, violence. Then they put a head. They are talking to their brother in the deen. They give him a head. When the scholars were saying that photography is permissible, for those of them who said that it was permissible, even though that's a weak opinion, Allahu A'lam. Were they talking about these kinds of things and images? Is that a photography they are talking about? Drawing human images? Is that what they were talking about, that it was permissible? So a lot of people have gone into ghafla al-an. Ghafla makes them do it. Istahwaza alayhim shaytan fa'ansahum zikrallah. Shaytan overruns their mindset. So it makes them forget that when you use this kind of a thing, you are helping to spread indecency and vulgarity. For the sake of Allah, let us distance ourselves from these kinds of attitudes. One woman goes to commit indecency somewhere, a newspaper comes to report it. If you're a journalist, don't report these kinds of things. Don't tell us those boys, those men who go in privacy, commit indecency, record it, and then bring it to public. Newspaper houses should be ashamed to report these kinds of things. But where is the shame in community life? And when shame goes away in community life, when bashfulness and nobility goes away in public life, insecurity replaces it. You complain about insecurity. So like we spoke about, inciting the people against government. What level of insecurity is worse than that? You are part of the insecurity. When you support an indecency, you are bringing insecurity to the community. You bring insecurity. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Shubayl ibn Auf a tabi'i mukhadram. He was alive when the Prophet was alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and Shubayl ibn Awf did not have the opportunity to meet the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He only met the system, the governance that was established by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that the likes of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar and Uthman came to make flourish and expand. So he met the golden era, rahimahullah, Shubayl ibn Awf. Says, Kana yuqal, during this golden era, it was a common statement, like it was made by Ali ibn Abi Talib too. The common statement is that man, sami'a bi fahishati, whoever hears about something indecent, something obscene, something dirty, something lewd, he heard about a lewdness, fa'afshaha. Then he goes about spreading that lewdness. For huwa fiha kalladhi abda. In the sin that they gain from it, is like the one who originated that sin. He's like the one who started it all. The one who spreads it. It's like the one who started it. There is yet another narration from another person from amongst the eminent persons in the earlier days of Islam. That was Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid ibn Nakhli. That comes as the narration number 326 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports it with his isnad from Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah, not Ibrahim. Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah al-Makki. Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah was an imam in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram, for many years. Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah was an eminent student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. He was a slave who became freed. He became very, very learned in the sciences of the Quran, tafsir, the hadith of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the sunnah. And he was from among the fuqaha. Because he was a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he gained a lot of knowledge regarding the Quran and the fiqh of Islam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has an isnad between himself and Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah for this statement of Atta'u. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports it from his Shaykh Qabisa. So he said, Haddathana Qabisa, Qala Haddathana Hajjaj, an ibn Jurayj, an Atta'u, annahu kana yaran nakala ala man asha'al zina. Kana yaran nakal على من أشاع الزنا يقول أشاع الفاحشة كان يرى النكال على من أشاع الزنا يقول أشاع الفاحشة. الإمام البخاري reported this from his Sheikh قبيصة. He is قبيصة ابن عقبة. قبيصة ابن عقبة السوائي. قبيصة ابن عقبة As-Suwa'i is the Shaykh of Al-Bukhari in this hadith. And he is reporting from Hajjaj ibn Muhammad al-Mussisi. Hajjaj ibn Muhammad al-Mussisi. Abu Muhammad, who is reporting from Ibn Jurayj. Al-Imam ibn Jurayj, Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Aziz. Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Aziz. Al-Makki, he was from among the scholars of Makkah, Ibn Jurayj, rahimahullah. And he is reporting from his Shaykh, Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahumullah. Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah, the ulama used to describe him as the very, very learned scholar who was not handsome at all. He was not handsome at all. Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah was not handsome at all. He did not have anything in his look that you say handsome at all. Yet he was one of the most learned persons in Mecca during the time of the companions, radiallahu anhum. So much so that sometimes when Abdullah ibn Abbas would ask a question, he directed and said, go to Atta'u, go and ask Atta'u. Ibn Abbas would say, go and ask Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah. Despite the fact that he was not handsome at all, he was not rich at all, he did not used to even have something to eat. Rahimahullah. but he has never been forgotten from the scrolls of history. We mention ahadith, we mention Ata'u, rahimahullah. And I remember that many of the people, some around Kogi, the Igalas, they always bear Ata'u. Many of them bear this name, Ata'u. So it's one of the most learned, in his time, he was amongst the most learned persons in Mecca. And that was the time of the Tabi'un. So what do you wait for? In the time of the Tabi'un, there was a man who is known to be from amongst the most learned. What other honor is he looking for? So Ata'u ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah, it was reported of him that kana yara nakal. He has a view that there should be some sort of a deterrent punishment. And nakal is a punishment that you give to somebody. When you give it to him, it will deter the rest of the people from behaving like him. Ata'u ibn Abi Rabah, he believes that there should be nakal. There should be deterrent punishment. If a person forwards a means of indecency, should be punished. If a person forwards a news of indecency, that person should be punished. Why? Because, like he said, rahimahullah, asha' al-fahisha. He is spreading evil. The one who forwarded it should be punished, so that the rest of the people will not forward it. Ata'u ibn Abi Rabah, yara nakal, ala man asha' al-zina. He believed that the one who comes to the Prophet to spread information regarding zina should have nakal. What is nakal? He should be punished in such a way that whoever sees that punishment will not behave like that. How? Will not come to spread zina, will not come to spread indecency in the community. Yaqul, Ata'u ibn Abi Rabah will say to follow that, asha' al-fahisha. That person has spread indecency. So we should be careful for the sake of Allah about spreading information, forwarding the news. You are going to have the same punishment like the one who started it. You are going to have the same information, the same punishment in the sight of Allah like the one who started it. There are some S videos that people send. When you help forward it, your punishment in it is like the one who actually had that indecency. May Allah protect us. So for the sake of Allah, know what you forward, know what you spread, know what you drop in WhatsApp groups, know what you are doing. If it is an indecency, you are like the one who started it. So when it goes on spreading, the one who started it continues to have a lot of things. You too, you'll be having those things with him. For the sake of Allah, the one who spreads evil is like the one who started the evil. Don't spread evil. Don't go about informing, have you heard that? And that, have you heard that? The news is about evil. Don't do that. There is no community you think is safe in the world, except that there is news management. Security agencies do this a lot. They manage a lot of information. There are many things when we hear about them, we will not be able to sleep. But they will manage the information so that we can sleep, we can rest. We're now in a generation, they say, show us the video. You want to see a video of how a man was shot, was killed, was battered? That's the video you want to watch. In a criminal act, that's the video you want to watch. What is the lesson you want to gain from such videos? You want to see how a man was private with his family? Is that the video you want to watch? What do you want to gain from that? How one young boy unmarried, another young man unmarried. I mean, we are opening this. Is that the video? What do you want to do with that? And after that, it becomes spread in the community. So let's not blame the government. Oh, government is in the insecurity. You caused the insecurity yourself. Look at the information you pass across. Is it an information that when it is heard, there will be peace in the community? Sometimes when you hear some things, you fall sick. The mind is sick for days. There are some things when we hear them, For days, you'll be feeling sick inside the mind. Why spread these kinds of information? So don't spread evil. When you help spread evil, you are like those ones who actually committed the evil itself. Allow the government to spread what is necessary. Be careful, so things happen. Because the government knows how to do it, they know the how, they know what to say, they know what not to say, because they are trained in it. Or in a generation now, everybody records it as a video and spreads it. Everybody records it as a video and spreads it. Everybody records it as a video and then they spread it. This is spreading indecency. It is not lawful. It's not lawful at all. Unfortunately, some of the people are happy that the indecency becomes spread. They are the same with the one who committed the indecency with Allah, and their punishment is the same. That was what happened to Qawm Salih. Qawm Salih, Allah told us about them in Surah Al-Shu'ara. He made us understand that those who planned to kill the camel of Nabi Salih, there were just about 9 of them. Mufsiduna fil ardi wa la yuslihun. There are 9 of them. And the 9 in the group were headed by a woman who was very, very, very rich. And this woman had a beautiful daughter who that every man wanted in the community. She told that group of 9, any person who slaughters the camel of Saleh, that person will marry her daughter. And then Allah told us in Surah Al-Shams, Ibn Ba'afa Ashqaha, the worst one amongst them stood up. He just stood up in Ba'afa. He just stood up. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَالِحِ. The messenger of Allah was warning them, نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ. Be careful. Don't slaughter this naqa of Allah. هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ فَذَرُوهَا تَعْقُلْ فِي أَرْضِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ. This camel is camel of Allah. They were the ones who requested for a camel. They said, they wanted a camel to come from a mountain. Salih, upon a condition. The condition is that one day the only well in the community will have the camel, will provide water for the camel. That is, one day the camel will drink, and then the other day the community will drink. The day that the camel will drink, the community also has a drink. You know what the drink is? The milk of that camel. So it's like the community has one day of milk, one day of water. But the day of water, the day of milk, the camel alone will drink the water. But their own day of watering, the camel will not drink any water at all. They felt insulted. They and camel will be sharing days of drinking. This one occurs in Surah Al-Qamar. And then the story went on. They were displeased. They chose to kill that animal. Why? They were the ones who asked for it. And they got it upon a condition. They were not able to fulfill that condition. Now the point is, when that one who stood up in Ba'afa Ashqaha, the worst one amongst them, on the day they agreed to kill that animal, he stood up to kill the animal. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The messenger of Allah Salih was warning them, Naqatullah wa suqiyaha. This is the camel of Allah and a means of drink for you. Fakazzabu. They said that he was a liar. Fa'aqaruha. Allah says, Aqaru. All of them slaughtered that animal. But it was one of them who did it. It was one of them who actually slaughtered the animal. But when Allah told them about how the animal was slaughtered, what did he say? All of them slaughtered it. Why? All of them came as all of them because they were happy that he did it. They planned it together. They agreed with it. And the Hafiz Ibn Kathir said to us that after that animal was slaughtered, the entire city, the city went in jubilation. Allah says, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ.
again. Damdama alayhim rabbuhum. And their Lord punished them, subhanahu. Their Lord Allah punished them. Bizambihim. Because of that sin that all of them committed. It says, Pastor Waha. He made the punishment equal. It went round everybody one by one. It was one person that slaughtered the animal. So when people become pleased, when people become happy that indecency is spread, they are just like the one who spread it too. And the one who spread it too is like the one who originated the indecency. So the same thing they refer to as fake news today. If you spread fake news, you are like the one who started it. If you are happy with it, you are like the one who spread it and the one who started it. So we all as a community should be careful about these things. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has brought this narration to us under the chapter heading Man Sami'a bi Fahishatin Fahsha'a. It's a very, very common thing in the community today. May Allah protect us. The time is far spent. I think we can stop here the evening last and go on to respond to the questions that might have been raised regarding this issue. Abu Amir.
Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair.
The first question here is, do we get the same reward for spreading good, like the same punishment for spreading evil in this sense?
Yeah, the same. If a person spreads good, he gets good. If a person spreads goodness, he gets goodness. Like the one who started the goodness. Of course, the one who starts the goodness gains reward from a lot of us. The same way, like the root of something going out. And if that goodness continues forever, even if that person dies, the goodness will continue. Like this book we read now, to caution ourselves and encourage ourselves upon goodness. It was written by Imam al-Bukhari. And al-Bukhari had passed away 256 years after the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Bukhari passed away about 1,200 years ago. This book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, is a means of guidance today. So he gains the reward from all of us, the one reading it, and those of us listening to it and making benefit from it. Al-Bukhari has benefits in it. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has benefits in it. His student, Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Firab, they were the ones who got these books to us. And then the likes of al-Mustamli, Abu'l-Haytham al-Kushmihani, and others reported from that set. Getting the books of al-Bukhari to the rest of the Muslim community generation after generation. So as it comes, each person starts his own benefit from there. Because that's what you invested in. So the one who spreads goodness also gains from goodness like the one who did the goodness originally. I hope that is clear. Now, I think there's a difference that I think that question was about. If we say the one who starts an evil and he wants the evil to spread, he spreads the evil, and the one who helped him spread it, till it's misawa, in the same, they are the same. There is still, they are the same in the sin of spreading that evil. The one who started it still has the sin of starting it. The one who started it still has, he has two sins. One sin of starting it, one sin of spreading it. They are equal in the sin of spreading the evil. There is still the sin of originating it. That one remains with the one who started it. And that's why even in Surah Al-Shams, Allah referred to the one who slaughtered that animal as what? Ashkoha. This is figure to Tafdeel. He is worse than others. Why? He started it. But in terms of enjoying evil and spreading evil, they are all the same. I hope that one is clear. It also occurs like that too for goodness. The one who actually started it has a reward. He has the reward of starting goodness. He has the reward of spreading goodness. those who also help him spread the goodness with him, they are equal in terms of spreading the goodness. But the one who started it has the reward of starting the goodness that those who only spread it don't have. I hope that that one is clear. So when it says, "Fil ismi sawa," they are sawa on fi ismi nashri fahisha. They are the same in the sin of spreading fahisha. But the one who started it has another sin with him. What is that? The sin of starting a fahisha. I hope that that is clear. Allahu Akbar.
I mean. This one reads, what should those who work in media houses do in respect of the many evil news, obscenities, and music?
They should be free to discuss with the management of their company. They should feel free to raise these issues with management. It is from the ethics of journalism all over the world. These ethics are only set aside. And it is practiced in many countries of the world. Do we think that the crime as it happens in the United States is reported just as it happens? Tell me the country in the world where crime is reported just as it occurs. There is no country in the world where the crime is just as is reported just as it happens. If crime in the US is reported just as it happens, nobody will say they are traveling to US because there's insecurity in Nigeria, because insecurity in those kinds of communities are worse. If crime is reported and publicized in the West, as in the Western world, as they happen, go and look at police crime reports in the US. What happens? Reported and unreported cases. Crime happens every 2 seconds. Who is killed? Every 2 seconds. Who is raped? Every 2 seconds. Drug abuse. In these communities. Yet the press knows how they control the information that goes out there. So it does not become a means of trouble. Then the security agencies too. In very many parts of the world. So we can go back, the people who are in these kinds of institutions, raise these issues. The press is contributing to public insecurity in Nigeria. The press is contributing to insecurity. Sometimes they hype the news for political gain. The news are not as they are reported. Sometimes they are unnecessarily, you know, for sales or for whatever reasons. They are blown beyond what happens. I don't know whether they ever under report. But there should be controlled reporting of news, not to affect public safety and security. This is well known even in their own palace. So, but as a Muslim who works in these kinds of institutions, you have a duty to explain to them. It's like releasing drug into community. You destroy the community. So likewise, releasing information that shouldn't go in the community into community is like destroying the community. This is well known. The only thing is that those laws are not followed. So as a Muslim, you call the attention of the management of fellow workers to these things, and you don't ever do it. You remove yourself. Don't say your work compels you to do it. Don't do it. Because in the day of Qiyamah, your management in the office will not be there in your grave for you to receive the punishment for spreading the namimah. Allah protects us. I hope that is clear, Abu Amir.
Amen. Naam, Ya Shaykh. This one, I think, came and repeated. What's the ruling on teaching our children public speaking, or we ourselves learning it?
Well, I do not know. Even though I've tried to study a lot, a bit, I would say, about how the early Muslims were teaching and learning Islam, how they learned and taught Islam. I didn't find anywhere they were teaching their students how to speak in the public. Speaking in the public emerges from good knowledge. If a person is well grounded in knowledge, they find it easy to teach what they learn. So if you say they teach their students how to teach now, and these there are adab, manners, what you should do in the gatherings of learning, what you should do in the gatherings of learning. So a student who passes through good learning is also able to teach well. A student who passes through good learning process is also able to teach well. And you usually find that if he passes through good learning, you find out that many times people say this person is speaking like his teacher. It is part of the things that he learns from his teacher. So what to say, okay, we now establish an institution. What do we want to do in dance? We want to teach them public speaking, just be able to speak in public. I don't know about that. What we should encourage the students, the children to do is to learn, acquire knowledge, acquire good knowledge. Because what has one of the features in our own times now is also that a lot of people speak with little knowledge, I'm sorry to say, but this is the truth. Everybody has a YouTube page, TikTok, everybody wants to say something. Because all they learn is about how to speak. How about knowledge itself? Is knowledge about speaking? Isn't there silence in knowledge? And Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, he would say, the first part of knowledge itself to be silent. So nobody is being silent again. The Sheikh is talking, his students too are talking. In Medina, when Malik speaks, everybody keeps silent. But now, because people only learn how to speak, so everybody is speaking. Everybody is talking. But how about the knowledge itself that you want to speak about? That one is little. In fact, in some cases, the speech ability of the people is bigger than the knowledge that they have. So the attention should not be about a child's ability to speak in public. No. The attention should be that the child should learn properly and be well-grounded. And for speaking, it will come in its time. It will come in its time. It will come in its time. But when you're teaching now all about speech, it's like a child in the womb of the mother. You want to teach a child in the womb of the mother how to speak? You don't teach a child in the womb of the mother how to speak. And the student that is still learning is like a child in the womb. He's not qualified to speak because at that time he's still trying to be an individual himself. He's still trying to become an individual inside the womb. How do you teach a child in the womb to speak? So let the attention be about developing a knowledge person, a person of knowledge and good character. And at the time, speech will come. But if you bring speech, you start with speech, the man will begin to speak when he should be silent. So he has a take about everything. We're in the generation of take. Now, what is your take? I was listening to a TV interview, and all the journalists interview panels were asking that person, what is your take about this? He answers. You're not asking, what is your take? I was saying, look, in the dictionary of these three persons who are journalists, speaking for a radio and a TV station, they don't have any other thing about this, about how to ask a person for his view, his thoughts, his concerns, his explanations about the matter, except to say, what is his take? What is his take? What is his take? Because that is the lesson they learned about public speaking. So it's about take now in this generation today. So for the sake of Allah, our attention with our children should be that they should acquire knowledge. Like a child in the womb. And when they're in the womb, you don't cry that your child has not started talking while the child is still in the womb. The person learning, acquiring knowledge is like a child in the womb. It's like a child in the womb. I remember, I'm sorry to say this, but I don't think it should be useful. I was asked to teach a book and I was scared because at that time I was still learning with one of my teachers. Those who wanted me to teach the book had to go to him to compel me to teach the book. It's about 15 years ago. He had to call me to say, hey, look, don't worry, go on. In the past, that's how it used to be. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said, I did not start to teach except that 10, 15, 20 amongst my teachers say, okay, now teach, start talking now. But for us, we taught the child to start talking even when he has not started learning anything. So I think there needs to be sort of a balance regarding this matter. Speech itself is not of the value. What are you talking about is the matter. And if the person has not acquired good enough information and knowledge to speak about, if you teach him to speak in the same nonsense, and that's the kind of thing that we have seen in the community. Everybody is talking. Even those who should be silent are talking. Everybody is talking. And this is not from the manners regarding the knowledge of the book of Allah and the Sunnah of his messenger. So allow a child that is learning to learn is like a child in the womb. When knowledge is duly acquired, speech will come along with it, as children learn speech when they come out of the womb of their mothers. I hope that it is clear, Abu Amir.
Ameen
wa iyakum. Can we have one more question from you today before we call it a day?
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. We pray to the Almighty Allah to grant you success in this dunya and akhirah. My question is this: how about going to a sheikh to ask about another sheikh regarding the issue of knowledge for clarification?
You can go to a learned person to ask if it's about a view. I have heard this view. Is it correct? You can do so. If you need to mention who said it, it's not wrong. But if you think that mentioning the name of the person will bring about a fitna between the first person and the second person, then don't mention the name. This won't happen even amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu. On the day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Ali ibn Abi Talib helped him to come into the masjid with, I think, Abbas and Ali ibn Abi Talib. There's a hadith of Al-Imam al-Zuhri from Abdullah ibn Abbas that was a lengthy discussion about the events on the day the Prophet passed away. And you know, he passed away after Salatul Fajr alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, our mother Aisha also reported that incident. When she was reporting the incident, she said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaned upon Abbas and someone led the Prophet into the masjid, alayhi salatu wasalam. That someone was Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now, she did not want to mention Ali ibn Abi Talib, so she was silent on it. Ibn Abbas, who reported the hadith from her, from Aisha, he went to Abbas, his father, and another person to verify. You and who led the Prophet into the masjid? And they say, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ibn Abbas was not asking that, oh, I had asked Aisha. He said, Abbas and so on. He didn't say that. But he was able to get information. And you know, because during Qissatul Ifk, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was scared in the 8th year of Hijrah, he was worried, he was feeling very bad about the evil accusation to Aisha radiallahu anha. We know this story. When the Prophet sought the advice of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali said, don't let it be that it is this young girl that will be bringing you trouble. There are many young girls in Medina that you can marry. Don't let it be Aisha. So Aisha radiallahu anha did not like that statement from Ali ibn Abi Talib, even though Allah revealed verses in the Quran to clarify the entire issue. So because of that, she still feels uncomfortable mentioning Ali ibn Abi Talib. When Ibn Abbas was to confirm who was the second person that led the Prophet into the masjid, he didn't come to say, oh, I had asked Aisha. When I asked Aisha, she said, radiallahu anha, that it was Abbas and somebody, because that itself will bring about its trouble. But because Ibn Abbas was just interested in the knowledge of who was with him, so he restricted the question to what will bring about benefit, which was that, who was with my father Abbas when the Prophet was led into the masjid on the day the Prophet passed away? Then it was mentioned to him, radiallahu anhuma, that it was Ali ibn Abi Talib. She didn't even say, oh, but Aisha didn't mention her. She didn't say that. He didn't say that, because that would be, it may bring about some disaffection. So if a student Ulama actually deduce what I'm saying now from this hadith of Aisha, Abbas, Ali, and Abdullah ibn Abbas. So if you go to a teacher, you want to clarify an issue, mention it in such a way that the issue will be clarified without any attack on any person's personality. But the issue is that some of the students hide under this. The actual intention is to make teacher one to attack teacher two. So they raise the issue. Look at this teacher. He said that one hadith that he said, then it begins to attack that person. This one is namima. It is not tolerable. I hope that these two scenarios are clear. One is lawful and encouraged. The other one is lawful and so discouraged. Allahu alam. Abu Amir. Is it clear?
No. As-salamu Allah, Shaykh.
Ameen. Ameen. We have it a day today, inshallah.
No. Jazakum Allah, sir.
Next class. We'll be discussing the Ibn Allah in our next class, Al-Ayyab, the one who finds fault in everything. Ayyab, everything is faulty to him. And after that, we go to the issues of praising the people. We've been discussing, mentioning the people negatively. After talking about fault finders, Ibn Allah will be discussing about At-Tamad, praising people. What are the things regarding praising people? How dangerous is it to praise people? How encouraged it is to praise people? And so on and so forth. We'll be coming to that in the next class, inshallah, Abu Amir. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.